Welcome back to Letters to a Young Mormon, a limited series from In Good Faith at BYU Radio. I'm Stephen Cap Perry, host of the In Good Faith podcast, and we're reading through Adam Miller's 2013 collection of epistolary essays, Letters to a Young Mormon. And now here's Sam Payne with Letter 4, titled Faith.
Dear S, when your story wears thin, and even you get tired of telling it, you'll need faith. This is not faith that in the end God will, against all odds, save your story. Just the opposite. This is faith that the life God offers you doesn't need your stories to dress it up. Dying is hard, but you can be reborn only when you trust God enough to let your stories die. We often talk about faith as if people who don't have it are right about what it is. The fashionable line is that faith is a poor man's substitute for knowledge. When you lack good evidence and sound reason, but you still want to say something is true, you need faith. On this account, faith is a kind of admirably earnest, wishful thinking about things that are lost, long past, or light years away. And in this account, spiritual progress is measured by your willful commitment to imposing on life a religious-sounding version of your story about how things should be. This account of faith is appealing to outsiders because it lets them box up religion as a curio, but it's also often appealing to religious people because this version of faith doesn't press us to confess how deep sin goes. Faith, as an earnest brand of wishful thinking, works like an antacid to calm your stomach and help you keep your stories down. Saving faith, on the other hand, obliges you to just vomit them up. Faith is not the same thing as common sense. It may be that for you, God's reality is so natural and so consonant with common sense that you've never doubted it and don't have to work at believing in it. God is just given as part of how things are. This is true for many people. Believing in God isn't something they chose any more than they chose to believe that the sky is blue. They couldn't unchoose it if they tried. But this isn't enough. Though this common sense acceptance of God's reality can be a blessing, it can also get in the way of practicing faith. It can lull you into thinking the hard work of being faithful is done, when in fact you haven't even started. On the other hand, it may be true that for you the existence of God is so unlikely and runs so counter to common sense that even an earnest kind of wishful thinking is more than you can credibly muster. God is just not given to you as part of how things are. This is also true for many people. Not believing just is, and it's not something they chose or could magically unchoose. Though this common sense godlessness can make things harder, it too can open a path to practicing faith. It may free you from common sense idolatries. Neither kind of common sense is faith. Moreover, what seems like common sense, what seems so sensible because it's so conveniently complicit with your stories, should itself regularly come in for a healthy dose of skepticism. Either way, whether God is or isn't obvious to you, the work is the same. Practice faithfully attending to the difficult, disturbing, and resistant truths God sets knocking at your door. Faith is a willingness, story or no, to care for what's right in front of you. Faith doesn't wish these difficult things away. It invites them in, breaks bread with them, and washes their feet. Faith is what you need to persist in truth as your sweet story, regardless of its content, gets overwritten by the real. This is how Jesus said it would be. Don't look for God in the throne room. Don't look for him in outer space. You won't find him there, Jesus claims. Instead, that he's hidden in plain sight. God constantly gives himself to us in the inconvenient, the hungry, the outcast, the prisoner, the sinner. He gives himself in what we would like to ignore. For I was anhungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. If we respond, incredulous, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? He will respond that, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Matthew 25, 35 through 38 and 40. Faith has to do with the least of these. It takes us down and into the unwieldy world, not up and away from it. Faith is more like being faithful to your husband or wife than it is like believing in magic. Fidelity is the key. You may fall in love with someone because of how well they complement your story, but you'll prove yourself faithful to them only when you care more for the flawed, difficult, and unplotted life you end up sharing with them. Faith isn't the opposite of knowledge. Rather, like love, faith perfects knowledge by practicing fidelity to it. Faith can't travel alone. It needs companions. As Paul says, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." 1 Corinthians 13:13. Faith serves charity, that pure love of Christ, by caring for the present and by anchoring hope in a world that already offers more than we're prepared to receive. Each of these three virtues tempers the others. Be faithful to what's given. Persist in attending to it until charity takes hold. Then forget what you'd planned, and remember instead the joy of responding to what others need from you. Rather than hoping for satisfaction in the stories you tell about the next world, hope for charity in the hard work of caring for this one. Or, as they say in Zen, waking up to life requires three things: great faith, great doubt, and great effort. Faith isn't the way of going to sleep. It's the work of waking up. And in order to wake up, you'll need both great faith and great doubt. In itself, doubt is neither good nor bad. Its value depends on what you do with it. You can doubt what's real in order to stay asleep, or you can doubt your daydreams in order to wake up. You can use doubt to protect you from the truth, or you can use doubt to leave you vulnerable to it. You'll have doubts regardless. Repurpose them for the sake of faith. Saving doubt is a strong solvent that can burn holes in your stories and lead you back to the work of being faithful to life and thus to God. Practicing doubt for the sake of faith is hard work, and it demands great effort, great faith, great doubt, great effort. When your faith falters and you're tempted to run, stand up and bear testimony instead. A testimony is a promise to stay. A testimony gives form to your great faith. It gives direction to your great doubt. And it publicly commits you to the great effort of trying to live what God gives. It is less a measure of your certainty about a list of facts than it is a mark of your commitment to bearing the truths that, despite their weakness, keep imposing themselves as a grace. In this way, bearing a testimony is like saying, "I love you." A testimony doesn't just reflect what someone else has already decided. It is a declaration that in the face of uncertainty, you have made a decision. Saying, "I love you," or "I know the church is true," commits you to living in such a way as to make that love true. Love, A.
Letters to a Young Mormon, a limited series podcast, is produced by Heather Bigley. Our editor is Josh Orton. Our post-production sound designers are Mark Hansen, Brandon Lewis, Daniel Phillips, and Carly Wilson. The text for this limited series is taken from the second edition of the book, published in 2018 by Deseret Book. Adam S. Miller retains the copyright. This podcast is a production of BYU Radio. I'm your host, Stephen Cap Perry. If interfaith understanding is important to you, tune in to our sister podcast, In Good Faith, committed to the idea that we all benefit from hearing people of widely varying backgrounds share their personal experience with faith and belief. In fact, we think people with such experience deserve some of our best listening. Find In Good Faith wherever you get your podcasts.